You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.
Kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
Welcome, welcome, welcome in Mafia Cast. Welcome to another episode of, Welcome, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another episode of the Mafia Cast. There we go. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, doing good.
Sounds like we're all having the same kind of day.
Yeah.
That's definitely been a long, interesting
big
day.
Game this weekend, right?
Oh, there's a game this weekend?
Yeah.
For who? I didn't know there was a game.
I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's kind of funny because my wife asked me, so what are we doing for the Super Bowl? Are we, you know, having the family over? What kind of food are we doing? I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
It's funny because it got me to thinking, like, when we were on that 17-year playoff drought, I actually enjoyed the Super Bowl during those times more than I do now. So in that aspect of it, it didn't matter. You just – you knew you weren't going to make it. Nobody cared, you know, whatever. And you just enjoyed football. And now, maybe it'd be different if it was Detroit versus Baltimore. I'd probably be a little more into it. But I'm sure Chiefs and Niners fans are tired of hearing that, so we won't beat them up over that. Not their fault, I guess. But let's kind of get into it. First of all, and we mentioned this last week, and you know, those of you who are listening now, you probably noticed our intro there with the Game On Sports as our new show sponsors. So, Mike, you've got something you wanted to say and add to that that's going on this weekend?
Oh, yeah. So Casey's coming out to Rochester this weekend. And at John's store here in Rochester, the Greece location, they're having their monthly they're doing it at both locations, but we're going to the one near me. And once a month, they do a trade day at the stores. So you or I can go there and, you know, bring whatever you want and, you know, meet – see other people and see what they might have just straight up trade with people or, you know, see what else, you know, John's got at the store as well. So we're going to go check that out. See what's going on this weekend, Saturday, 12 to 2. So might have to bring something. Might have to bring something there. See what I can find.
It's going to be interesting to see all the different types of memorabilia.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, obviously I hope there's a lot of Bill stuff, but outside of what John has, but it'll be, I'm curious to see. I hope there's a lot of other, like, different cool things that, you know, I just never really thought of or looked at because it wasn't Bills related.
Right. Yeah. And he's got all sorts of,
he's got a lot.
Yeah. Like the ad mentioned Pokemon cards and however many millions of sports trading cards, but he's also got some Hollywood type memorabilia too. So I don't know. He talked about a chair from or a seat from Fenway Park.
Yeah.
he was talking right. about yeah, so yeah, he's got all sorts of cool stuff there. So.
So let me tell you, before he or I die, I'm getting that Jack Nicklaus card from him. Yeah. I don't care if I have to write it into the contract or what, but I'm getting that.
Speaking of
good luck.
Speaking of die,
yeah.
What happened, out, Casey? Where's the pink hair?
Oh, really? Well, I'll do as best as I can for you, for anybody that can kind of see.
We're gonna do better than that, I think.
It didn't do much.
I know. He tried like
I tried three different dyes. That's all I've been doing after work the last couple days. I wish I could show you guys the picture. I mean, think of the pinkest thing you've ever seen in your life. And I got something more, and like the hair dye I got last night was brighter pink than that. And I followed the directions, I mean, to a T. It said not to bleach your hair if you have dark or brown hair. I was like, okay, well, here we go. You know, the only thing that it dyed was my scalp, you know, just got a little bit on the head.
If we got anybody listening right now that has some tips for Casey here that's done this kind of thing before, help him out.
We need some professional help.
And it does not include going to a hairdresser, because I am not spending that kind of money to do this.
$80.
I've spent enough money trying to do this already.
Too funny. Getting it done professionally is not cheap for sure.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move forward. We got some changes came up this week. We kind of discussed a little bit last week about the new offensive coordinator, the new defensive coordinator, Bobby Babich, a new guy, the new guy, but you know, dropping the interim title there. So, but with those changes came a lot of changes on the defensive side, all three position levels. But the defense have a new coach now, and for the defensive line, I believe it's Al Holcomb took over for Bobby Babich. What do you guys think about that move? Anything that really kind of stood out to you on that end?
I just we saw the Bills struggle like on defense in the playoffs, you know, and down the stretch to end to close games. I'm thinking that McDermott, it's not that he's set in his ways, but I think he's like, all right, maybe I need to hear fire him off. Yeah, right, Stu. I think, you know, maybe McDermott needs to hear just some fresh ideas, you know, just like when the Chargers, they had to get rid of Brandon Staley because they just needed a new voice. The players needed a new face to look at. And, you know, maybe McDermott was like, all right, I think McDermott just kind of was kind of looking around and being like, let me try to get some different voices in here, some different opinions, maybe some people that are going to push back harder on him. So that's what I'm hopeful for anyway.
Yeah. I like that you brought that up, because especially, and we haven't got to the other two position groups yet, the linebackers and the defensive backs, but, leading into that, both of those guys are from outside the organization. And to your point, I think that's good. I think that brings in some new ideas, fresh faces, some new ways of doing things. I wish I could remember all the names, the linebackers coach, the name escapes me. The defensive back Jamil Ade, or I think that's how you pronounce it.
Probably a die.
The only reason why
I think it's that, because I remember the running back, Joseph
Marcus Adai. West.
Yeah, but Joseph Adai had an I in that last name, and Jamil does not. So, but anyways, he's coming over from initially Miami, and there's a couple of things with this hiring that really kind of piqued my interest, I think. And that was, one, the safety over in Miami he coached this year and helped develop him into a first team All-American, and a guy who's been tagged to kind of potentially be a Bills first or second round selection. And that's the Kitchens safety. Can't remember the first name. You guys remember the first name?
Cameron Kitchens.
Cameron. Yeah. So kind of makes you wonder if maybe there's some sort of a connection there. Maybe the Bills are looking at Kitchens and thought, you know what, hey, let's go get his coach and see what comes of that. And then the other thing that I liked about it is Kyer Elam. I think, I don't know if you guys saw the quote or not, but Elam was asked about the change and the new defensive back coach. And they asked him particularly about the former coach and his thoughts on it. And he said, no comment. And he went on to kind of not really elaborate on that, but he made some other comments in there that kind of led you to believe that basically he and the DB coach were not on the same page for whatever reason. Maybe they weren't getting along. I don't know. So I'm kind of excited to see what Adai can do, or whatever his last name is pronounced, what he can do with Kyer Elam. Because when Elam's had a chance, he hasn't been terrible. There's some parts of his game that could be better, yes. But year three, we saw it with Spencer Brown. You know, he struggled year two with because of the ankle injury. Same thing with Elam last year. We've seen a lot of these guys maybe not necessarily be household names or you know, fulfill their potential in year one or two, but later on down the road they have. So I'm curious to see how that one plays out. What do you guys think with that one?
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, with Adai? He's
– Yeah.
I mean, I'm pulling up a page here with some info, and he's been coaching for darn near 20 years, you know, so – He's been into it for a while. I do agree that, you know, I like the idea. It is time. Like, I think it's just time. More of, you know, our defensive backs were, it was more about the players. Now, you know, we had some veteran players in our defensive backfield, but now we have a lot of young talent. So we really, I think the coaching is a lot more crucial now. And you pointed out some of the connections. I mean, that's very interesting. If there is a connection there, it could be helping us out that way. But definitely some new minds in there. I mean, obviously, you know, I feel like ever since, you know, Frazier left, we've been really sort of working hard to get this coaching staff, to a point, you know, where it needs to be. And you know, maybe McDermott sees something in these guys that he likes, and you know, hopefully they work well together.
Yeah, they're so all how would you guys, young too.
How would you guys feel about this? So Kitchens is, you know, a borderline 1-2, like round one, round two player. You know, you see him being thrown around in both places.
Yeah.
How would you feel if the Bills didn't take him at 28? You know, he is falling in the second round. How would you feel if the Bills traded up that compensatory pick that we got from the from losing Edmonds last year, and swapping our second round, our late round second round pick, to move up in the second round, you know, to maybe the top 10 to grab him, so that way we still have our number one, you know, say we go wide receiver first round, so we still grab our number one, and then we get our starting safety still right there. And yes, we're losing a third round draft pick, but we have two of them. So, like, is that something that you guys be willing to separate with if it meant getting like two absolute studs right off the bat?
Even one, for sure. I mean, you're moving up, and you got a guy you think is the guy. You got your guy there at the top. You're gonna go get him. And if it is someone in a key position like that. Yeah, we got to go for it.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of digging too much into other positions outside the receiver, to be honest with you, as far as draft goes. But I did see earlier today, I was kind of looking at Kitchens a little bit. And if I remember correctly, he had a 4.4, somewhere around 4.46, I believe. It's unofficial. We'll get those official times when the combine happens. But you get a safety that can run like that, that's a huge asset you can get. I would be for it, to answer your question directly. I would definitely be for that, because you're right. I think if they want him, they're going to have to get higher in the second than when they are right now. Because I think a PFF has him sitting around the 34th or so overall player. So that's going to be high second or late first. But
we got to make sure it's Spence.
Spence. Bro, you missed the whole thing.
If you would have been on time, Spence.
Exactly. To recap real quick for you.
We're going to do this. Hey, Spence, jump in here really quick.
We need professional help with his hair. He tried a bunch of different dyes, and I guess his hair is too dark or something, or he's just BSing, but
you know
we got to do better than that.
You know Spence is
here with us in just a moment. Earlier, Roy Collins said, isn't Holcomb the linebacker coach? That is correct. I think I said he was a defensive line coach, but yeah, he's the linebacker's coach. I don't remember who the DL guy is that took over there. But like I said, and then we got a new QB coach as well. So,
yeah, that is more exciting for me.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we got...
If you look at Casey's hairline, you can see the pink there. He did do something.
Seriously, here you go, Spence. I'm just getting destroyed right now about this whole pink hair thing. I like the QB coach because he's worked, you know, under Sean Payton, you know, while he was in New Orleans, which means he worked with Drew Brees, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. You know, he was up there in just about all the passing records. So I think that that's going to be a positive for Josh overall.
And so him and Joe Brady kind of coached together at one point, right? They were both at the Saints at a certain time, I believe. I thought really? I read something. I
didn't know. Yeah, they may have.
So they may have. That's interesting as well. And I've realized that he's quite an athlete, multi-sport athlete. I think he even won a dunk contest in college. So, and he played multiple positions. He played receiver and quarterback in the NFL. So, sort of well-rounded.
Yeah,
you see the game from both positions. You've seen it firsthand. So, you know, I believe it's a good thing. And then, you know, the connection with Brady, hopefully, maybe, you know, getting something together. Maybe they had something there and who knows?
He also did some, I was about to say he did some time under, but that sounds bad. He coached under Jim Harbaugh as well. When he first got started with his coaching. So yeah. And one of the things I wrote about this earlier today though, and I find it kind of interesting. The last two now QB coaches that Josh Allen has had have both gone on to be offensive coordinators. The only one that didn't was the very first one. Spence is in here. We're going to let him jump in here really quick because I know he's busy. He's oh my gosh, at the Super Bowl. So let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up,
Spence? I'm making my way to Mina Kimes' show and everything tonight, so I'm dipping out the hotel room, but I wanted to jump in. Casey, I'm sorry. I see it.
Don't be sorry. He deserves that.
I tried three different dyes. My hands are pink. I bet you my body's pink. Like,
I feel like we should have talked first. You know, there's a process. I dyed my hair, so there's a process. You have to bleach it first. You can't just
Dude, you know, it's my direction said, my directions specifically said for dark or black, like dark or brunette hair, do not bleach.
I'm gonna tell you, just don't
specifically not to.
I'm gonna tell you, it don't work like that. Now, what you can do though, like just to get this deal, like this bet done, so you can lose in peace and lose gracefully, they have spray paint, like they have hair.
Yeah,
tried that.
That you can go. Tried you that. Tried that too?
Tried that. Wouldn't work.
I'm gonna get the Rust-Oleum.
Yeah, my we just hair gotta just get spray of paint. My, that's it. We just gotta get
my hair turned. My hair just kind of turned like real paint. A red. Like,
it, well, hey, like, I respect you for doing it, man. I respect it.
I've tried so hard.
I think we can call it even if you want. You embarrassed yourself enough. We can call it even.
No, that's up to that you. You're the guy who I made the bet with. I can try to keep going,
you know what?
Pinker if you want.
I can see you tried. I see you're going to have to walk around for like 4 days with like a pink hairline.
Dude,
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Dude, it's bad, bro. Oh, it's bad.
He dyed his scalp.
It's on my ears. Like, it's not good.
No, I love it, man. I love it. So yeah, we could call it even, man. And fellas, I just want to say this. Congratulations on a wonderful season. You guys had a great season this year. And then you've grown a lot. You got your sponsorship going now, and then you got other things happening. I look forward to seeing what you guys do and how you continue to grow on Buffalo Rumblers. Man, I got your back 100%. All three of you guys, you're my brothers. I appreciate you. Keep going, man. Keep going. Oh, go Bills.
Awesome, man. Thanks a bunch.
Love you, man.
Thank you, Spence. Yeah. All right, thanks, man. Peace. Man. Go Bills.
Yeah. Later, Spence.
Have fun.
All right.
Yeah, thank God. He's got a hard
that
right
was
now.
The pink hair fail.
Thank
it wasn't
God.
Such a fail.
Oh my God,
man,
that was awesome.
It really does. I really thought I was gonna have to keep trying to do this, man. Like, I was over it.
I did picture you with bright really big hair, but he's right. That is you're saying. Well,
to his point, my youngest he's gone green. He's done, I think, a purple or a blue or maybe both. He's done a red. But yeah, you have to bleach it first. That's the only, because his hair is not quite as dark as yours, but it's still pretty dark. So yeah, and that's what they did. They bleached it. But the first time we went and had it professionally done, yeah, I think $150 for that crap.
Exactly. And like, if you guys like, because of the lighting, the camera, like in person, like it is kind of like purplish pink, like right here in the front, like there's definitely
in the light,
some color
you can see a little
it,
bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just barely can tell, though.
Oh, I could tell.
All right.
Blotches on your forehead.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So,
should have seen it last night. It was my entire forehead.
Should have left it. Should have left it. That'd
dude, it took rubbing alcohol on my forehead to get it off. I swear to God.
Oh, man.
You learn your lesson. You're going to make any more bets like that going forward?
Probably.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Yeah, for sure.
Guaranteed.
All right. Let's get back to what we're talking about. So, quarterbacks coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew Brees, Harbaugh. We kind of talked about that. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add as far as the? The thing I was saying is the last two, Brady, Dorsey, both went on to be offensive coordinators. So, like you mentioned a while ago, the connection with Brady, the potential connection there with Brady, and I wonder if maybe that's why they kind of brought him in, was because there's a very real possibility Brady's gone after next season, assuming, you know, the Bills' offense has a good season, which offensively, you know, there's no reason to believe they wouldn't. So there is that possibility. Do you see maybe why are these names escaping me? The new OC or new QB coach stepping in. Curry.
Maybe, is that a way to keep Joe Brady around? Because why did we have to have a revolving door of OCs?
Because they're good, and they move on. I mean,
but if they think they could win, they don't think they could win here, and then they leave. I mean,
well everybody wants to be a head coach. I mean, that's why you get into coaching,
the goal.
Everybody wants to be a head coach. Yeah. Not everybody's going to be a Josh McDaniels.
That's why I'm saying. Right, that's why I'm saying Brady.
And it does happen every couple of years, right?
A head coaching job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, look, unless, I mean, you know, somehow Brady gets fired like Dorsey did, which I don't anticipate that happening, but who knows?
Real quick, Stu, I will take that bet.
No.
Oh, stop. No.
Don't get in bed.
I will take that bet. Gladly.
All right. Stu says, bet Broncos have better season next year. Loser shaves their head.
Better season than the Bills? That's the question. Because if he's just saying better than the season they had this year, I would just say I hope so.
Well, get some details and some definitives on that. The other QB coach, let me ask you guys if you know this, because I had to look it up. Who was Josh Allen's first quarterback coach in the NFL?
I feel like I saw it earlier today, and I'm not gonna be able to answer that.
It was Ken Dorsey.
No.
No. Nope. He went on to be a head coach. Actually, he's never been an offensive coordinator. He was Josh Allen's QB coach in 2018. He did some other stints after that. Never an OC, but then he became a head coach of the Houston Texans for one season.
Oh, he became – wait. He say that again. He became a Houston's head coach for one season?
For one season, I believe, 2022, I believe.
So last year, oh my God, who the hell was our head coach last year?
Mike, do you have it in front of you?
No, I can't find it.
I'm pretty sure it's 2022.
Okay, who was it?
David Coley.
David Coley.
Coley. Yeah.
Never would have guessed.
Which, like I said, I was surprised. I didn't realize that. I didn't know because, yeah, I was like you. I thought it was Dorsey from the start, but no, it wasn't. So I'm not sure where he's at now. I think somewhere in the league, I'm sure. But yeah, so defense, a whole bunch of new coaches there. Kind of got me thinking, too, are we going to see a very new or different defense for the Bills next year?
I think players-wise, yes. Players-wise, I think. I got to be honest. If Hyde straight up retires, I would not be shocked if Poyer's like, yeah, I'm probably done too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hope he's back, but I wouldn't be shocked if he is. That'll put a hurting on the team for sure. I mean, that would basically put safety at the number one position of need going into the offseason this year. But I would
just push back on that a little bit because we still have Taylor Rapp, who I think can fill that role.
No, we don't. He's a free agent. He's not.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying they could bring him back. The defensive line concerns me more than the safety position, even if Poyer does decide to retire, because we literally have one guy under contract right now. And I don't know if the team can afford to bring back guys like Leonard Floyd or even Daquan Jones, where they're, you know, potentially marketed at. I believe Spotrac had Daquan listed at, oh man, 6.8. And then Floyd, I believe 8.1 is their market values. Now, I will say this Spotrac, and this is straight from them too, is their market value numbers tend to be a little higher than what actually happens. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But we know Buffalo's $50 million. Plus over the cap. I have no question, no doubt in my mind that Brandon Bean will get the team down below and they'll be able to make some moves. I just don't know how much of those moves. We're going to lose some players, I think, that might be fan favorites. What do you, Casey, I'll ask you first. What do you think? Do you see both Floyd and Jones coming back and Poyer, or one of them, two of them? What do you see kind of coming out there?
Don't get me wrong. I expect Poyer to come back. I think that's just probably being a hopeful fan. And I think Daquan's going to come back. I don't think that he's going to, you know, ask for a monster contract. Floyd's probably going to be the most expensive one out of all of them. But even at Spotrac projected contract for him this year, that's still more, I mean, less than what the Bills actually paid him this year. They paid him $9.2 million this year. So if they can just figure out another way to swing that same deal again, and because we were basically in the same cap casualty as we were last year. So if Bean can somehow just pull it off again, bring Daquan back, you know, on a relatively team friendly deal, put and Poyer just stays put, then I could see it. But I would I don't necessarily expect Floyd to be back.
Yeah, I want him back, but yeah, I'm kind of with you. I know there's some concern that he tailed off towards the latter part of the season. He had zero sacks over the last five games, including the playoffs, but he also had an injury, and we don't know how significant that was. He didn't look like the same player late in the season.
Well, but, another note on that. Sorry to cut you off. I think he ended up playing the Von Miller role, and Von Miller ended up playing the Leonard Floyd role. I truly think that's how this year worked out. I mean, we all expected, you know, Von to get, you know, 10 sacks. We were hoping that Floyd would get, you know, 5, 6, 7 sacks coming to being as the third, fourth edge on the team. So he is a little older. So I think, yeah, I wasn't totally shocked to see him kind of tail off a little bit, because I think he was asked to do more than he expected. Because
he turns 32
because of the injuries.
Yeah, I think he just filled in for Von with the injury.
Basically. Yeah.
Kyler, this is why you got to keep Epinesa. Just got to throw that out there.
That's another one too. Make more guaranteed money and have an incentive-based contract. I would do an incentive-based contract for both. All three of those guys, and one that you just mentioned, Epinesa, Daquan Jones, and Leonard Floyd, if those guys would agree to it. Let's talk about Epinesa really quick, since you brought it up, and he wasn't on the notes for today, but that's fine. We kind of talked about him a little bit in the past, at least I've talked with you guys. I like Epinesa as a player. My worry is that his stats, his big moments come in spurts. I've called him before the Gabe Davis of the defense. He has a phenomenal game, and you're like, oh my gosh, here he comes. And then he disappears for a couple of few weeks. And then he has a big game where he gets a sack, sack and a half, tackle for a loss, a pick, just an insane performance. And then he disappears for a couple weeks again. This team, and I've said this before, they need a consistent guy week in and week out. And they just don't have that and haven't had it for a while. Ed Oliver, fantastic season last year. Nothing in the playoffs. And that seems to kind of keep happening with a lot of these guys. They get to the playoffs, and I don't know. We've talked about the defensive rotation. It doesn't seem to be working. Like, they have a good regular season, but are they too tired in the playoffs? Like, what is happening there? And I need that consistency. And somebody like Epinesa, I think he's got all the talent in the world. He's just – there's no consistency.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah.
See, but I like that. I don't mind that spurtiness for defensive end. Because you never know when that big play is going to come. And AJ's made it the big play, like, at big time, like in a big game. You know, not just – it wasn't just against – just pick whatever crappy team, you know, the Giants or whatever. Like, he came up big against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. So that's what I would kind of expect from, like, my third, fourth defensive end is, you know, somebody who – is good average, and then like most days, and then on his best days, you know, he could be the number one on the team. I don't mind that spurtiness.
Is he worth, though, the money that he's likely going to get as a third or fourth defensive end, though? Because, I mean, Roy brought it up.
At this point,
teams tend to overpay for defensive ends.
At this point, he might be defensive end two for us. Von might be the one that's.
I mean, I feel like he shows great progression, you know, over the past. He's only been in the league 2 or 3 years now, right?
No, this
was his fourth year.
Is this his fourth year now?
He's going into year 5.
I mean, going back to like his rookie season or second year, you know, I feel like you see a huge difference.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it would be worth it in the long run to throw a little something at him and keep him around.
I do too.
Yeah, it kind of makes me nervous because we are so thin along the defensive line. Like I said, we've got one guy under contract right now, that being Ed Oliver. So it worries me. Like, if our defensive ends 1 and 2 are Von Miller and Epinesa, I have no confidence in that combo right now.
Well,
I could be completely wrong. Both those guys could come out and ball out next year. Well, yeah, and Groot would be the third one in there. But even with Groot, he has kind of morphed into this more of a fantastic deep run defender and not really getting after the quarterback. I think he had 6 sacks, 5 sacks this year. Again,
you know what really scares me is I feel like Shaq Lawson just rubbed off on Gregory Rousseau, because we picked Shaq Lawson in the middle to late first round. He was you know, one of the best pass rushers coming out of Clemson. I loved Shaq Lawson at Clemson. And he comes to the NFL. I mean, he's come up big in a couple of games. So he's made some key stops. So even getting to the quarterback. But I mean, he's just a damn good run defender, like you said. And Rousseau's kind of the same thing. I mean, I see Rousseau a lot, you know, when he's trying to push the pocket, he kind of gets stood up, and he's not necessarily rushing the quarterback. He's just more so just playing contain. But you know, today's NFL, when quarterbacks can move the way they can move and linemen hold the way they hold, and it never gets called. Like, it's, he's not able to actually make that contain a lot of the times, just because of the way these quarterbacks are able to move. So he's one that's kind of starting to, like, if his sack numbers don't go up next year, he's one who I'm going to be afraid of picking up the fifth year option the following year. Cause it's like, God damn, man. Like, you've had 6 sacks, 6 sacks, 6 sacks every year. And he's just kind of, he's never gotten really better. He's been the same player since he's entered the league. So that's what scares me.
But the reason, I'm going back to Epinesa again. I just want to say, I feel like D tackle might be easier to fill in free agency than end would.
Oh yeah.
I was also another reason I would want to, I'm kind of arguing to keep him. And then
there's definitely some free agent options.
Defensive back in the draft.
I'd love to see us just bring back Linval Joseph and Daquan Jones and Tim Settle. I'd love to have that four be our. I'd love to have them back. I think Settle's the perfect one.
I think
he's the perfect
one. I'm not a fan of Settle either. Linval Joseph is like 4,000 years old now,
but he's so good. He's still so good.
Puna Ford, in my opinion, was underwhelming. I expected more out of that group than what we got this year, and I personally would like to almost, I'm not necessarily saying blow up the defensive line, but almost just reset. Let's go back and get some young guys, kind of start fresh there. Stop bringing in these mid-30-year-old DTs. I do want Daquan Jones back. That one I would welcome back. Puna Ford, I would like to have him back one more time, one more season. Let's see what he can do for another, one more offseason and whatnot. I want to kind of throw this out there really quick. So a lot of people know that I write for FanSided, the Buffalo Lowdown site, and FanSided is at the Super Bowl, and they're doing a lot of interviews. And Bruce Smith, because we're talking about defensive ends, reminded me, Bruce Smith was one of those that they interviewed. And I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I do know that a portion of that was him talking about how difficult it is in today's NFL to get sacks. So just shameless plug here, I'm going to listen to that interview later tonight, and And I'll be writing about that. And that'll be out around 9:30 Eastern time. But I am curious to hear what he had to say, because we're talking about these guys who are getting 6.5, 7.5 sacks, or even like Leonard Floyd, who got 10.5. And these days we look at 10.5 sacks and like, oh my gosh, what a great season. But then we forget about guys like Bruce Smith, who had 20 sacks back in the day. The Derek Thomases of the world that had 20s plus, and Reggie White's and all those guys. So I do think there is something to that.
TJ Watt, the last 2 years, he's had over 40 sacks combined the last 2 years.
That's like the anomaly, though. That is the outlier now, as opposed to.
Yes and no. I mean, look at the other Josh Allen, Miles Garrett. So who was it? It was TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, the other Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, but he was hurt this year. Khalil Mack, who had a fantastic year this year. I mean, that's five guys right there that had minimum 15 sacks. So, like, I understand, like, I get, like, it's hard to find that, but like the only way that you can find it is you have to get the number one guy in the draft class at like pick five at this point. And with that, that's where all of these, yeah, I mean, that's where what all but TJ Watt were drafted. TJ Watt was late first, second round.
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually wondered that and I've never looked into it. That would be an interesting dive to see kind of where that plays out. I'm going to throw this back up really quick because this Emily, that's my one of my stepson's girlfriend. She's in Belize right now. So the fact that she's taking a time out of her family vacation to listen to us, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome.
So this whole show, two things we wanted to get to. One was the free agencies as far as wide receivers go. And then we, of course, talk about the Super Bowl and our picks because we didn't do that last week. So let's jump into the Super Bowl really quick. I don't want to. I don't care. But we're going to begrudgingly do this. Mike, I'll start with you. What do you think? What are you expecting to see? What are you hoping to see? And who do you think is going to win? And who do you hope will win?
What I want to see is the Chiefs get crushed by the 49ers.
I think we're all in agreement with that.
I even saw a very touching story on NFL Network about Christian McCaffrey and a young boy with cancer, I believe. And it made me even more a fan of the Niners. So I really want them to win. But and I just want to – I think Kansas City has a better defense. So that is going to be the tough part. So I don't think the Niners are going to win. I like the coaching better at Kansas City. It's just like meant to be for them. I can't, I'm over fighting against it. So if I have to predict something, I'm going to say the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull it out. I have my score prediction written down from last week right here.
I was just going to say, since this is the last game of the year and our last opportunity to do score predictions, what do you got?
Yeah, it's going to be 27-20 Chiefs.
Wow.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Casey.
Hope I'm wrong.
I think the complete exact opposite is Mike, which is not unusual. I think San Francisco is better as a team as a whole. The one thing you can do against San Francisco is pass on them, but Kansas City only has like two passing weapons, and that's Travis Kelce, who's getting a little bit older, who the Niners can just put one of the best, if not the best linebacker and probably the best coverage linebacker, and Fred Warner on him and be like, go to town, you know, one-on-one that. And that leaves rookie Rashee Rice basically to carry the load and the passing game. So I like San Francisco in this game. I just think that the Niners are going to be – there's too many weapons on that offense in order to completely stop them and shut them out. McCaffrey, Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, you know, that's an insane offense. So I think it's going to be San Francisco 32 and it'll be Kansas City 27.
Wow. That's a high scoring game.
A lot of Super Bowls usually are. We got to remember
that's
that.
True.
Super Bowls usually end up being high scoring.
So there's two things that I kind of go back and forth on. Number one, the 49ers defense can be ran on. They haven't been good against the run this year. So if the Chiefs are willing to lean into that, I think Pacheco could have a big game and potentially even be a Super Bowl MVP because of it. But then on the flip side of this whole thing, I saw some numbers earlier today. They were comparing Josh Allen's MVP credentials to some of the other guys that are, you know, as far as the quarterbacks go. And which we'll find out, I think, tonight, right? Yeah.
Right?
The ESPY Awards or whatever. And they were talking about Josh Allen's turnover-worthy plays, which was at 3% and resulted in whatever turnovers, second in the league, right? But then Brock Purdy's numbers they put up there, 3.5% turnover-worthy plays. He's actually put the ball in jeopardy more often on a percentage base than Allen, and it's resulted in 12 turnovers. The whole concept of the idea was saying that interceptions to a point are a luck factor as well.
Oh, for so sure.
Yeah, remember last year when we were like, oh, half those interceptions aren't on Josh. They all tipped off Isaiah McKenzie's hands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. So this one's actually tough for me. When the matchups were first determined, I was like, oh, San Francisco's going to win this. Green Bay pushed the Niners to the brink and probably, in a lot of people's opinion, should have won that game. We saw the Niners earlier in the season kind of struggle. They lost three in a row to the Vikings were in there, and I can't remember the other two, but and it's difficult for me, and I hate to say this, but it's difficult for me to count against Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I'm with Mike. I don't want the Chiefs to win. I would rather Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, go out and get his first Super Bowl rather than Mahomes get his freaking third. Already, he's the new Brady of the league, which is disgusting. But I'm gonna go with the Chiefs as well. But I think it's gonna be a little bit lower scoring, and I think it's gonna be much closer. And I'm gonna say 23-21, KC.
So I'm looking.
That
at
would
FanDuel
be a pretty
right
good
now.
Game.
You're looking
and
at
the
what?
Niners are FanDuel right now, and the Niners are favored by 2.5, and the over/under is 47.5. So it's kind of interesting, you know, to see. I'm looking for one more. I wanted to see what the over under for passing yards was going to be, but they don't have it yet.
I just want to say Brock Purdy doesn't even believe in himself because he said he'd put Josh Allen on his own fantasy team with all of the Niners talent. So I mean, throw that out there as well.
That just means he's realistic. Like he's
exactly
to me. Brock Purdy turned out to be what I thought. Like Taylor Heineke could have been.
I hope he pulls like, it off.
Purdy, you know, he plays with the most heart. You know, he like you can see like how hard he tries on every single play. But he knows like I can't throw it 70 yards. You know, I can't run a 4.44 40. But he can do all the little things, and he can do all the little things really well. And that's what makes him successful as a quarterback. He doesn't have the intangibles like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. So, I mean, kudos to him for knowing his place, but like knowing his limitations and really running with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get off the Super Bowl. I actually forget that there's a game until something pops up on my phone about it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the Super Bowl this weekend.
I just know I got to get chicken wings the next day or two.
Let's get into the free agent wide receivers really quick. So, first of all, we've got two of our own, and Gabe Davis and Trent Sherfield. Casey, apparently you wanted to vomit at the thought of those two. Explain yourself.
No, I just, well, like one of those things. I'm kind of just over it, you know. I think I'm over the Gabe Davis trial. I think he's done as much for us as he can, and I think we've done as much for him as we can. And I think for each to get better, I think they have to just go their separate ways. You know, it's just, it's toxic for both if they stay together. And not that he's going to be a bad guy in the locker room, but I just think that he's hit his ceiling with the Bills. And Trent Sherfield, I was pumped that we signed Trent Sherfield last year. And I mean, he just became such a letdown to me, you know, the drop passes and just everything else. I you can get that the production that he gave us out of, I feel like, just about any wide receiver.
It's about anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Your opinion of Davis, do you think the Bills missed him against the Chiefs, though? The game was close. We dropped 3 deep balls. If he plays, to me, I think that's a different game. But what do you think with that?
I mean, obviously, yes. I mean, he no matter what, he was still our second best wide receiver. Well, maybe third because of Khalil Shakir coming up.
He helps the running game too.
So did Trent Sherfield. I mean, he's just as good of a blocker, and so is Shakir. So we can, you know, that's X-nade out. But I mean, obviously, like the second best receiver, you want your second best receiver on the team playing. It would have made a difference. He probably would have caught the ball that went straight through Sherfield's hands both times.
Mike, if we bring in a different number two, an upgrade on with a number two, would you want Davis back?
If we brought in another number two.
Yeah, somebody, and Tor Davis could be the third or fourth option.
I wouldn't see a reason for it. I wouldn't see a reason for Gabe to be here then. I mean, it seems like he would be being replaced at that point. And if you're just going to move him down the depth chart that far, I mean, I can't imagine him and Shakir competing for a spot or something. Then it's just kind of, you know, when you get to that point, it's sort of, it's hard to compare at that point. You slide him down that far and it's like, it's not worth it. He has the size and he belongs at the number two spot. I don't know why he's not going to be the slot receiver. I don't know. He's got to be on the outside or he's inside blocking. So,
yes. So Roy mentions a couple of free agent options, which, perfect segue, because I have a list here that we want to talk about. Budget wide receivers like DJ Chark, Van Jefferson, unfortunately. First of all, Van Jefferson's not even on my radar, honestly. I don't know why. I don't have a good feeling about him at all. With Chark, you say a budget wide receiver, but his SpotTrack market value is listed at $10.9 million. Which is just about $2.5 million less than what Gabe Davis is currently slotted at. I feel like there's better options than Chark around the same value or even less. Some of the names that I've got, I'll start with Curtis Samuel. He's the most expensive of the bunch that I have, 11.5 market value. So $2 million less than Davis. I believe Davis is sitting at 13.6 last time I checked. Curtis Samuel, 4.31 second and the 40, the fastest of these five guys I've got listed here as well. What do you guys think about adding Curtis Samuel as our number two?
Go ahead, Mike.
He's definitely probably one of the best receivers out there that are probably in reach as far as how expensive they're probably going to be. So he's probably the most talented free agent receiver we might be able to pick up that is realistically, you know, as far as the numbers go. I think he's a good, great receiver. I don't know. You got me thinking. We got talking about the values and stuff. I almost wonder if Gabe would take a decent pay cut this year to stick around because of the production going down. But it's like seeing that here. I know other teams, you know, we say other teams might pay for them, but you know, what do they really see? And if he can't do it here, I mean, what is it? I mean, what do you see in him that it's going to make him?
I could see Brian Daboll throwing some players, money at him.
Yeah.
That's the one team I think that would overpay for him for his services for sure.
Yeah.
Davis isn't a bad receiver. Like, don't get us wrong. We're not saying that he's right. terrible by any means. It just kind of goes back to the whole consistency thing for that one. Roy, yeah, $10.9 million really. When was he ever good? Talking about DJ Chark. Chark had a good first couple of seasons in in Jacksonville.
Yes, he did.
Then after that, he didn't have very good quarterbacks after that. I wouldn't mind DJ Chark on our team on this roster, but not at $11 million.
I want him at wide receiver 4 if he's on our team.
Who would be ahead? Diggs, Shakir,
and a rookie.
The rookie. So, okay.
So you wrote out the wide receivers that you were looking at, and it got me thinking as to – I agreed entirely with KJ Osborne on you. I really like KJ Osborne. I think
he's a good price, too.
I think he's just been, you know, kind of buried in the depth chart in Minnesota with, you know, last year or 2 years ago, I guess it was Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. This past year was Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, you know, but he stepped right in when those guys got hurt and like he performed to a starter level. So I wouldn't mind him. Noah Brown, you know, he's a little bit bigger receiver, 6'2", coming from the Texans. Mm-hmm. He just had a very, very good year. I liked him when he played for the Cowboys the year before. He's somebody who I think would be who's cheaper and could definitely be a wide receiver 3-4 for us. And then my sleeper, who I think we could get on a relatively cheap deal, who's dealt with injuries in the past, which to me, if you've dealt with a couple injuries, that kind of saves a couple years on your body from getting hit, if that makes any sense. So, like, you may be 30, but you might be playing in, like, only in, like, you're 28 because you've missed, say, 2 years of getting hit. Michael Thomas, he's somebody that, I mean, set the catch record. I mean, was considered the best wide receiver in football at his peak. He's now a wide receiver. He's now a free agent. He's somebody who I would not mind taking a flyer at, you know, if he'd be willing to take a incentive-laden deal, throw him a couple million guaranteed, incentivize him. If he hits 1,000, if he hits 10 catches, you know, if he hits 70, 10 touchdowns, if he hits 75, 80 catches. I think he could be a really good complement to Diggs. And then have Shakir running in the slot. That's my only argument against Curtis Samuel. I've been a big fan of him since he was in Carolina. Since my wife's a Washington fan, I got to watch them a lot this year. But he's their slot guy. I mean, he does stretch the field every now and then, but he's mainly their slot guy. And I think they really like Shakir. And that, so I don't think that they bring somebody in and pay him that much money, you know, to just battle with Shakir with it. I think the slot position is Shakir's, like, for the foreseeable future.
I do agree there. You don't think Samuel can move to the outside? I think, didn't he play outside with the Panthers?
Yeah, but he's just too small. He's not big. I mean, I want to say he's like 5'10", yeah. You know, and he's light. So, I mean, he got downfield, like you said, the blazing speed. He was able to get behind. I think he's 5'11",
but yeah. Well, to your point, that was you said mentioned that he stretches the field occasionally. It's one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting when I was kind of doing a little bit of research on him. I think his career average per reception is only like 10.9, which is unusually low for a 4.31 guy. So, you look on the flip side of that, somebody like Gabe Davis. His yards per catch average this year was 16 point something. I can't remember exactly. He is consistently one of the top 5-6 guys in the league in yards per reception. Yet he's not a 4.3 guy. I don't know what his 40 is, but it's not a 4.3. I can guarantee that. So there's just some guys that regardless whether they possess that downfield speed or not, they still have a knack for for getting open downfield and creating that separation and making those plays. And Davis can do that. And I guess that's what really kind of frustrates me with him for me is I like him. I like him so much. He has these games. You're like, there he is. There's our guy. And then he's not. Like, it's so.
And then he's not for four games.
Yeah,
it's just you wait until everyone forgets about him, and then it's like, bam, there he is. They put him on watch, and it's like,
I go back to that Chiefs playoff game from 2 years ago, four touchdowns,
an incredible on six catches.
How about that 99-yard play?
One of the greatest playoff performances we've ever seen ever. But he can't do it week after week, and if he could just do half of that. On a more consistent basis, but it's not going to happen at this point. We're about 4 years into this situation with him, and if it's not happening now, it's not going to. I don't think.
Again, he was a wide receiver. He was drafted in the fifth round. He set the expectation. I said it last week. He just set the expectation so high after years one and two that I just think he was doomed. He was doomed to fail just because of how high Bill Mahomes' expectations were.
He should have. In year three and four, based off those first 2 years, the numbers should have been better, but they're still about the same.
Exactly.
Because, and it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to go through the rest of the list here, free agent wide receivers, because we're out of time. And so we'll just save that for next week. So if you want to know, then you're going to have to tune in next week to see the rest of our free agent wide receivers list. Roy brings up Chenault. Would be interesting. That's one I haven't looked into too much of. And again, Collins brought up Tre'Davious White and what the Bills are going to do with him this offseason. And yet again, forgot to bring it up. So, Roy, very first thing, as soon as the intro is playing next week, remind us, and we'll jump right into Tre'Davious White conversation and what we believe that the Bills should do with him. Yeah, there you go. All right. You guys got anything to add?
No. Well, just to remind everyone, we're headed out to Game On. Maybe we'll see you there. Now it'd be cool if anyone heads out, say hi. But that's all we're up to this weekend. Besides watching the freaking game and eating chicken wings, that's what I don't do.
If you're on YouTube, please hit the like button, subscribe to the channels. Also, find us over on Facebook at the Mafia Cast. Become one of the followers there. We're up to 228. The goal is 500 by the time the season kicks off, 2024 season. So get over there, join our community, be part of the conversations. And also, you got to join the Facebook group or page, because we will be doing some giveaways for some Bills memorabilia courtesy of Game On Sports from John's stores. So be on the lookout for those. The only way you can be entered in those drawings is by being part of our Facebook page members. So
also, got a trade coming up. There's a trade show coming up at Batavia Downs Sports Expo at the end of the month. So we'll be posting about that kind of stuff too. Any future signings that John might have at his store, just keep you updated there on our Facebook page.
Lots of good stuff coming. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to get out of here, guys. We'll see you all next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153. 153.